25th, 2016, 9 a.m. This is the Board of County Commissioners Week for Business Session. And the first thing this morning, we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Can you please stand, remove your hats?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First on our agenda this morning is a presentation. This is the Raskin Award for 2016. And I think we have quite a few people here for this award this morning. I'm going to read a description of the Raskin Award before we begin the presentation. The Raskin Award of 2016. The Raskin Award was established by the Animal Shelter Advisory Committee in the honor of Carl Raskin and his family. This award is presented annually to people or organizations that have made significant and substantial contributions to improve animal welfare in Josephine County. This year's award is being presented to Hans Schaffran and Dagmar Wheeler. What sets Hans and Dagmar apart from other nominees is that they work independently and in concert with other animal advocacy groups to support animal welfare in our county. A couple of specific examples of their work are as follows. Hans contributed time, money, and labor to construct freestanding shelters for the outdoor dog runs at our shelter. Hans also built a lovely, spacious cattery where cats and kittens can be fostered as part of the Shelter Friends foster program. Prior to the levy being passed, Dagmar donated money to the shelter so that raised dog beds could be purchased to get the dogs up off of the concrete floors. She spearheaded keeping the beds replaced and in good repair when needed. Hans and Dagmar provide dog care packages to homeless owners to help them care for their pets. Hans built the Shelter Friends Hero Train that we use for the Boatnik Parade. Hans and Dagmar have fostered countless dogs that were not well socialized and would not pass the temperament test at the shelter. They work patiently with these animals while networking to find them a home that understands the deficiencies or special needs of those dogs. Finally, Hans and Dagmar don't support just one organization or cause. They support all manner of animal advocacy work. Their attitude is, what can we do, and how can we get it done? For all of these reasons, it is an honor to award the first presentation of the Raskin Award to Hans Schaffran and Dagmar Wheeler. And I'd like to have Diane Hoover, the director of our Animal Shelter and Public Health, to come forward and bring the folks up who have so deservedly earned this award. Raskin Award. This Raskin Award is presented annually to a person or organization that has made significant and substantial contributions to improve animal welfare in Josephine County, Oregon. This award is presented to Dagmar Wheeler and Hans Schaffran.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would
you like to say a few words? Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you.
Would you please take?
Thank you.
you.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that there are members of the Raskin family that are here this morning to see this award. And Diane, would you like to introduce them, please? Thank you. Thank you for being here. We appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And for all the work you've done in the community for the people and the animals. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Very special activities on part of our volunteers at the animal shelter. Thank you. Okay, moving on. We are going to have a public hearing this morning, so I am calling the public hearing to order, 9:06 a.m. This is the public hearing on the Josephine County budget for fiscal year 2016-17. And I think we have Mr. O'Hare, our finance director, here to give us a brief presentation about our county budget.
Thank you and good morning. Arthur O'Hare, finance director for Josephine County. In accordance with the Oregon budget law, I'm going to go over a brief timeline, just very brief, to let the public know the process here. So in accordance with Oregon budget law, I, as the budget officer, prepared fiscal year 2016-17 budget following the direction of the Board of County Commissioners. The law requires that I present a balanced budget to the Budget Committee and that the Budget Committee review the presented budget. So on April 19th, on April 26th, and on May 17th of this year, the Budget Committee met to review the budget. And on May 17th, the Budget Committee approved the proposed budget without any changes. Oregon budget law requires that we publish the approved budget, which we did in the Daily Courier on May 20th, setting a public hearing for today. And the purpose of today's public hearing is to hear any citizen input on the budget that was approved by the Budget Committee. After the public hearing is closed, the Board of Commissioners may make additional adjustments to the approved budget based on input from the citizens. Before June 30th, the budget law requires that the Board of Commissioners adopt the budget, make appropriations, and set the property tax rate. I'd like to let folks know that copies of the approved budget and of our audited financial statements are available on the county website. So the budget you have before you is the budget as approved by the Budget Committee. And any questions before we go to the...
Any questions from the board?
No.
When you say it was this budget is presented as without any changes from what had been previously.
Correct.
So did that include my changes?
The salary issue is not part of the budget total itself. So that's a different issue. Your changes are your changes, but the budget itself is still at the same dollar amount. The Budget Committee did not approve specific salaries of specific people.
Well,
that's
did.
Not of their approval process. That's not the budget process. That's the Elected Official Compensation Committee and the Elected Official Compensation. But that's the budget is at the same dollar amount.
The Budget Committee approved 4-2.
Correct.
The proposal that I had made.
But that did not change the dollar amount of
the total
budget.
I understand
the total
that.
Dollar of the budget. Correct. And that's what the public hearing is about today is the total budget. Total dollar amount.
But wouldn't those recommendations be forwarded to us, or where is that process? I think for Commissioner Heck's point of view, he's interested in that being ratified by the board.
Right. It would at some point, and I haven't put it together yet for presentation to the board, but it would be effective July 1, which is the August 7th pay date. So it's not as if, you know, something's going to happen tomorrow that would influence that one way or another.
In other words, for clarification, is that the salary request made by Commissioner Heck,
right,
the whole elected official salary compensation board and recommendation is a separate process from the budget that will be handled separately. And of course, you know, time is not of the essence necessarily, because that can be implemented in a week or 2 weeks or whatever, because it wouldn't go in effect until July 1st. It's not necessary under the law for us to approve a budget, correct?
Correct, because the budget today, the budget committee did not change the total dollar amount of the budget. It's still the $90 million.
They made a policy recommendation, and this is the dollar amount of the budget.
Of the total budget, correct.
So the difference is that they had made a policy recommendation that we can handle next week or the week after, but the dollar amount of the budget does not change.
It's the same thing with the adjustments that the budget committee recommended regarding the, I believe, the assessor 3%, the sheriff 6%, the legal counsel 2%. The recommendations for the salary changes are still valid and still in effect, but they did not change the dollar total of the budget. So the budget stands as it was approved.
So when is that process when the board... And I understand we only have the discretion to ratify their recommendation. We don't actually have the authority to change it. Is that true? Or I don't want to get sidetracked in something, but I think maybe the answer is on, you know, June 12th or whatever, we are going to address the issue of the recommendation from the Elected Officials Compensation Committee.
Right. I think what we're dealing with specifically with Commissioner Heck's reduction in budget, or reduction in salary, not in budget per se. The board always has the discretion to spend less, or any department has discretion to spend less than what has been appropriated. So that's not the question at this point. You know, can you spend less? Yes, you can. Do you have to spend the full amount? No, you don't. So that's...
In other words, what you're saying, for further clarification, is that we're approving the budget today as it was passed by the budget committee, because the budget committee did not make any motions to alter the amount, the dollar amount of the budget.
Correct.
They made motions and passed
two
in regards to salary, Commissioner Heck and then the other elected officials, having all to do with elected officials as a policy matter that we have to take up separately from the budget dollar amount.
Sure.
It would have been different had the budget committee made a motion to adjust for salaries in that, correct?
Correct, yes. And then what you would have before you today would have been the adjusted total budget. So, but since we did not adjust the budget for those recommendations, the budget is what it is. I don't know.
Still not addressing his original question, is when
are we going when
to take
are we
that
going
issue?
To do that? Not today.
Okay.
Exactly. Not right now.
But before July 1.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm just asking.
Correct.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be board level. He'll get that ready. Bring
that's
it to
not
board.
This. Yeah, that's not this process that we're doing today. Today we published the budget, the approved budget, as it was approved by the budget committee. According to Oregon budget law, that's the budget that we publish in the newspaper, what the budget committee approved, and then that's the discussion that we're having today, is the approved budget, the public hearing that we're having today.
So just to restate, to make sure everybody understands where we
sure.
are, is that the budget committee made some recommendations for policy change having to do with elected official compensation. They did not make any motion or recommendation in regards to adjusting the dollar amount of the budget.
Correct.
So we are approving the budget as they recommended.
Correct.
The policy issue in regards to the salary
will
be handled. The board will handle that
right.
at a later date.
Correct.
And if there needs to be a budget adjustment, it would be made also at that later date if it were necessary. I don't know that it will be. They're both small amounts, but
In the grand scheme of things, they're pretty small percentages of the budget, hundredths of 1% of the budget.
Okay. Does that clarify it?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to open it up for public comment on the budget only. So does anyone over here want to comment on the budget? No? Okay. On this side, Dale Matthews.
Thank you. They only have to use grants pass. So we're hearing it again. It's ludicrous to say that the budget was approved without changes. If Margaret Goodwin's suggestions about the million or a million and a half or even half a million were accepted, then that would be, and the whole budget committee said, yes, we're finally going to say there's an emergency and we're going to do something about it, which they didn't do, then that would be a budget without changes, because the bottom line, the $80 million or whatever it is, would have been accepted without even a dollar change. It's just that you're moving everything around inside. Well, that's without changes. No, it's not. I mean, even you guys are saying, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense, because it doesn't make any sense, because we're getting bogus information from the finance director. Even you don't buy that. And you think that we would? It doesn't make any sense. And it's emblematic of this entire administration. That is just not making any sense. Another thing that's emblematic is, why didn't this meeting, today's meeting, start with the status of our county emergency? It's an emergency, right? When the sheriff came to the budget committee, why didn't he talk about the emergency? It's an emergency, it's an emergency. Every meeting should start with the status of the emergency, because it's not an emergency. It was a big enough emergency to have to call the governor down to take over part of what we're doing. But it's not at the budget committee. It wasn't really discussed. And when suggestions were made about ways that this could be ameliorated, no, you're not going to take on those suggestions, because it's not a property tax. So we're getting false or misleading information from the finance director, Arthur O'Hare, and you can call him up afterwards, and then he can clarify. How many clarifications? Five clarifications on this? Six clarifications? And then you can explain to the other commissioners why they should not question the process, because it makes it sound like you're not telling us the truth about this. And then you can explain to all the rest of the citizens why it is that we're getting this kind of information from this administration. It's a nonsensical suggestion that there were no changes. And you know it, and you'll gloss over it.
Judy Ahrens.
Judy Ahrens, resident of Josephine County. You know, I guess what I'd like to see clarification when they say the budget committee passed something, or this is what they said and they voted on. I would like to see in the future maybe a headcount, because I too thought that Peggy Goodman was very articulate, very made a lot of sense, and I'm not disappointed in you three, not at all. I guess where I'm disappointed is in the community. We have a community that's so apathetic and so whatever that they don't speak up, and yet you will see these same people who will be arguing and discussing, and they have less money to spend and less money in the bank account because of this and that. But when we have opportunities like this, and they're becoming fewer and fewer regarding our opportunity to speak up, like on the budget, I too believe that that $1.2 million could have been put into a special account so it could have been directed and followed and everything. But if the community doesn't care right now, that's very sad, and that's very sad, saddens my heart. So I don't blame you. I blame people not coming to these meetings. They're more in getting more awards on dog issues, which is important, and the place is packed when we don't have enough money for a budget on the animal shelter. But when it affects their direct lives with people like this, I'm so sad, and I feel so shameful that people don't speak up, and they're so quiet on these issues. I'm amazed at maybe what future things they won't speak up also. Thank you.
Okay, one more time. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the board.
Madam Chair.
Yes?
I just have a couple of things. I feel that Mr. Matthews' comments were abusive in nature, from a standpoint that you may disagree with somebody, but I think that the connotation that we have subpar people performing duties in either any department just isn't the case. They do an exceptional job, and I'm sure that we'll probably receive an award later on for our financial reporting.
Again,
Again, we do.
Again.
We did last year, too.
I think if there's a misunderstanding, that's, you know, partially, it's not any one person's fault for that. I think Mr. O'Hare answered quite clearly that, you know, the elements of the policies that really have no impact on the budget, they don't have any impact on the budget. The FTE number is what we approve, and we also approve the general department budget allocations, as Commissioner Walker referenced several times. Those are the same. So that is not something. The policy elements that transcend this budget and will be implemented for multiple budget years is not necessarily part of the FTE level or the total dollar amount. And so that's why it's not being addressed today. And that's not really that complicated. I'm sure Mr. Matthews understands that. But that isn't very exciting. And he needs something to fill time on his show. So he'll make it up. I think, Ms. Ahrens, you're kind of right in it from a standpoint that we really didn't get that much public input on the budget process. It's not complicated, and I think people could understand the fact that we don't have to move money. In fact, it's probably inappropriate to do so into a special account for future budget years. If the next budget committee chooses to use those dollars, they're still available. We know how much is there, and it's not necessary to move them. It's also pretty clear and should be in everyone's mind that we have pretty much a very similar kind of emergency within our public works facilities and our road department as we do in our criminal justice system. If you look at the projections of what kind of revenues we're experiencing in the future, what based on what we've had in the past, and what kind of buy down of our reserves we're doing in public works, they're going to be very, very similar in future years. And having an idea to choose between road dollars, going to the safety element, so how many people died, maybe not as a result of inadequate infrastructure on our facilities, our road facilities, but we had 4 deaths, road fatalities last week in Josephine County. You could make an argument that our road infrastructure really provides and needs to continue to provide a safe path for people to move about the county. And if you start not investing in that, you're going to have real issues in the future. So guardrails are really important. Having safe surfaces, we're supposed to be resurfacing 50 miles of roads every year. We're doing 25 miles of roads every other year. So we're doing 1/4 of the maintenance work on our road infrastructure that we should be doing every year. That's pretty simple to say that you're not meeting your mandatory minimum for road maintenance. So to just move $1 million or $1.5 million to road rural patrols, for what kind of bang for our buck, that's an issue that the next budget committee needs to decide. Because we're not going to increase our road patrols right now. Is an argument to maintain them in the future? I think there's a real argument for that. But that's not this year. That's next year. And will the future budget committee will address that. So we need more input from the community, but I think this board has done more than any other previous board at trying to find that input from the community with the number of different advisory questions that we have put out there that don't just hear from the people that show up or don't show up at a budget committee meeting, but all of the electorate that we serve, we survey on a more regular basis than any other board ever has. So we are interested in hearing from the public, and that's evident in those kinds of examples. So I think we've done a good job. We're only able to propose this stable funding level this year because of the actions that this board and other boards have done in the recent memory. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the reserves to maintain this even low level that we have right now. So I don't need to belabor the point. I think these points have been made during the budget committee hearings, and this is just the final element before we approve it. So that's where we're at today. I think we're going to be able to maintain this level, and that's not a small deal. So there's a lot of people to be commended, and not just in the Sheriff's Department, but other elements of the public safety sector, our DA and our juvenile shelter and detention facility director, our juvenile director, because we don't operate a shelter anymore.
Commissioner Kerr?
Yes, just a point of everybody understands. We are elected officials. I'm an elected official. I'm ultimately accountable to the electorate in Josephine County. And consequently, we have the privilege of listening to a whole host of different people make comments about whatever it might be. That's our job. It doesn't mean that just because I hold to a particular position or you hold to a particular position, that that is the position that I need to hold to. It might well be, I hold to it. But yet, on the other hand, the whole populace of Josephine County is the ones whom we represent, not just a particular group of people. All that is saying, being said also, that the finance director, Mr. O'Hare, works for the Board of Commissioners in the County of Josephine. He is not an elected official. If he has done something that is so egregious that causes your blood to boil, say something to us, and we'll be happy to try to find out and to check out and to see what is done. He has not proposed anything that we have been surprised by in the sense of, how did he sneak that thing in there? He works for the Board of Commissioners. He works for the County of Josephine. He is not an elected official. And to attack him in such a egregious way is beneath the dignity of the office and more reflective upon the person who excels in vitriol in front of a microphone.
Anything else? Okay, for those, pardon me, there is a comment section at the end of our budget that is posted online and was part of the program that we've had here, but it's a summary that I'm going to read and regards a statement of changes in activities and sources of financing. And it won't take long. Overall, the proposed budget shows an increase of approximately 5% from fiscal year 2015-16, or about $4.5 million. The public safety fund is a 19% decrease, or $3.3 million, due to reduction of OSC and SRS federal forest revenues, but a 3% increase in operational expenses to maintain current services funded by grants. Public health increased by 30% due to new grants with AllCare for community health and HCSO, that's HCSSO for Healthy Start, and animal enforcement tax. The animal enforcement tax is the tax that was approved by the public here in Josephine County. The grant fund reduced 24% due to ending of community housing grants. The Commission for Children and Families Fund ended and will not be budgeted as these are handled with the state. Transit fund increased 87% for pass-through grants to City of Grants Pass for sidewalks. The County Bridge Construction Fund for OTIA grants has ended and will not be budgeted. The Road and Bridge Reserve Fund increased 31% or $772,800 in operational expense for unanticipated capital repairs. This budget includes a proposed increase of full-time equivalent positions of nearly 8 1/16 personnel. This compares to the adopted fiscal year 15-16 budget and one supplemental with fiscal year 16-17 budget as approved by the budget committee. Josephine County requires the majority of county programs be self-sustaining through fees, grants, state contracts, gas tax dollars, and other revenue sources that do not rely on property taxes or general fund support. Monies that for dedicated purposes are required to be shown as own funds in the budget. That all being said, the total budget, $91,769,700, only about 10% of that is discretionary funds that we have some control over. The other $80 million is all pass-through, grants, or some other kind of program, subsidy, or revenue received by the county that we have no discretion over. They are either earmarked, revenue funds, pass-through funds that we have no control over. So I just wanted to read that into the record for clarification, because people who are watching this or will be watching it later would not have the opportunity to see that during this meeting. So, okay, that being said, I will entertain a motion on the Josephine County budget for fiscal year 2016-17.
No. Go to the admin calendar. Close the hearing. Close the hearing, go to the admin calendar, and we'll approve the budget in the admin calendar.
No, you haven't closed it yet.
Oh, okay. I closed the hearing. Sorry, thought I had. My apologies. It is 9:31. Close the hearing. Okay. Administrative actions. This is item 3. And again, we have Mr. O'Hare. Item 3A and B. A is the approval of resolution number 2016-039 in the matter of adoption of the budget for the fiscal year 2016-17 and making appropriations. Mr. O'Hare. And the second one, 3B, approval of resolution number 2016-040 in the matter of levying ad valorem property taxes, local option levy taxes, and bond levies for Josephine County for fiscal year 2016-17.
Right, and thank you very much. And according to the Oregon budget law, that the board is required before June 30 to adopt a resolution making appropriation, approving the budget or adopting the budget, and also levying the tax associated with that budget. So that's what these two resolutions are all about, what you have before you today, and they would need to be approved by the Board of County Commissioners. So don't have much to add to that.
Okay.
Since we discussed it earlier.
Do you have any questions, any further questions with regards to these resolutions?
Just a clarification on all of this, but on what is happening to the property tax amount?
The property tax is basically the same as it's been for 20 years. You've got 58 cent per thousand. That has not changed in the budget ups and downs and the reductions and increases and grants and pass-throughs and everything. The property tax has been 58 cent since the Measure 4950 established a permanent tax rate for the county. So it has not changed.
Thanks. And also tying this in, there has been increases in income from different departments, public health being one of them. But those increases are not as a result of the general fund. Those increases are a result of directors going out and contacting, working with, consulting with other agencies that are not county agencies, and they are the ones who are funding some of these programs.
Yeah, grants, what we would call grants, yes, from either public grants or private grants. Same can be said of the fairgrounds. Certainly the airports has more volume of grants, a couple million dollars worth this coming year, and he's applying for. So any of the increases that you see, increases in budgets, increases in FTE, are for the most part the result of grant income that the department heads have sought after in order to continue their programs, or perhaps in the case of parks and some of the others, some fee increases that have occurred over the years. But those are dedicated funds for those specific programs, not general fund.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Item 3C is approval of the Second Amendment to the contract for professional services between ConMed and Josephine County. ConMed is the organization that provides health care in our jail facility, and as has proven over time, that typically when we have a jail population, they're individuals who have not had health care. So some of the health care issues are ongoing, severe, sometimes acute. And so we have had two individuals down there that have been providing the care, and now we're going to be increasing that contract so as to handle the care that is necessary to provide health care. The law requires that we provide health care in the jail, so it has become increasingly a burden for us to do so. I would like to say that ConMed, recognizing the financial situation we are in, are sharing that. They are reducing the cost to the county for that additional staffing, but we do have to pay an additional amount, and I believe that is
$39,000.
The total cost to the county, I can't get my screen to move
total
over.
Cost is $365,000, but the increase is $39,000.
Thank you. I was cutting it off, and I couldn't get it to the screen to move. Thank you. So it's a fairly nominal amount because ConMed has stepped up and said that they would absorb some of that cost. Okay.
It was one of the most glaring elements, I think, when the board just took the recent annual tour of the jail, that the potential liabilities for not doing an adequate job in the medical field when we have people in our care is significant. Yeah. And so it's one of the things that's unfortunate that should be said is that even if you come to the jail and you have private health insurance, that ends at the door. When you step into the car or into the jail, you, the John Q. taxpayer, pick up all medical expenses incurred by inmates in the state of Oregon. And I think we have a capacity to bill Oregon Health Authority now.
We can bill them.
But if, private health insurance, you pick it up. And that's a pretty substantial cost across the state in all 36 counties that have jail facilities. So,
which is a law that should be changed.
The legislature is looking into that. So,
okay, item 3, D, E, F, G, H, and I are all timber sale contracts. I'm going to have Commissioner Simon here to address those for us, please.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I'm the liaison to the forestry department and work closely with Mr. Streeter, who's our new forester. He inherited this portfolio of proposed timber sales from the previous director, Mr. Harris, who has recently retired. And the total number of board feet proposed for sale or has gone to sale is 6.3 million board feet. The projected revenue is 1.8 million. I want to make a special note of item 3G. It's listed as a Wolf Creek Park timber sale. This property is actually located on the other side of the creek from the park area. I think the total park area might be 80 acres. This is about 30 acres up on the hillside. It really can't be seen very closely or very well from the park area. There's a visual buffer that will be maintained, vegetation, and all of the revenue projected, I believe, at about $75,000 will go back into Wolf Creek Park. Our parks director, Ms. Wright, is going to leverage those dollars with matching grant funds and try to do some much-needed improvements coordinated with the community and what they find is an appropriate priority. But that should go a long way to improving the infrastructure up there with improved restroom facilities and campgrounds and other things. So there's a need for a footbridge over that creek for some trails and some disc golf. So it's revenue well spent. And the other revenue after reforestation costs and administration goes back into the county's general fund through a trust that'll be doled out over time. And if it went into the general fund, 80% or nearly 80% of our this year's budget, 77 of those general fund dollars goes right back into the criminal justice system. And we'll be working on a strategy, this board, hopefully implemented before the end of the year, that will really earmark those revenues for specific programs within the criminal justice system so that they're allocated appropriately with the highest priority.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up about, even though the name of the sale is Wolf Creek Park, we're not harvesting the trees out of the park.
Although a thinning project in the future, it's like Sherwood Forest in that park needs to take place, and that's part of that whole renovation of that park system. Probably something I should say is that all of our timber sales conform with the Oregon State Forest Practices Act, and we are managing our portfolio of forest lands, over 100 different properties and nearly 30,000 acres, on a sustained yield basis. We have to accommodate for all the riparian setbacks, owl critical habitat designations, anything that any other federal or state timber operator would have to do. We comply with those laws and exceed them in most cases.
It's always good to have a reminder of that, because oftentimes forestry practices are misrepresented in other areas of the country in regards to timber, because Oregon is such a big timber state, that we're still harvesting like they did back in the 50s, and
right.
That has not been the case for a long time, and in fact has been changed a lot in the last 30 years.
So I know that we implement specifically three different tacks with forest management. We have variable tree retention that resembles a stewardship project, where there could be a 30% green tree canopy cover retention. We have strip management, where we'll leave strips on the landscape of trees and remove strips, so that provides for variable shade for regeneration, especially on south-facing slopes with drier conditions. It really improves the reforestation. And then occasionally we do have situations where the only the most effective use is a clear-cut mechanism, which is even tree retention. So those are done as well.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving on. Requests and comments from citizens. Each person will be given 3 minutes. State your name, state your address. You don't have to give the street number of your address. And address your comments to the board. Speak into the microphone. So anyone over here wish to make a comment? Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road. I'm rather proud of where I live, so I don't mind giving my address. A lot of things to talk about, not much time here. I commend you guys for holding the line on robbing the public works to fund a sheriff department that we can't sustain. I think if we knew that in a year we have a new administration at the federal level and we would get some either continuation of SRS dollars, or going back to what we should have done 25 or 30 years ago, and that was logging like we should, the right manner, and continuing harvest, it would do two things. It would give us money for the county, and it would give us living wage jobs. So I commend you for holding the line on that, because I don't think that's sustainable. Second thing is, yesterday, I went up to the Connect Oregon 6 Regional Committee. I'm a member of the RV Act, and we had 10 projects we were looking to fund through Connect 6. The first two that were funded were a no-brainer. There are two projects over on the coast, one in Cook Hill, one in Coos Bay, that will eventually add probably between 50 and 100 jobs in that area. And they're living wage jobs. They're good-paying jobs. They're also working with the community colleges to start to train people, welders, machiners, that could do these jobs. And Larry Graves had a project for our airports, which was backup generators in case of power outages. It fared very well. It ended up fourth out of the 10 projects. The only one the two from the coast and one project from the Medford Airport were scored higher. But the general consensus was, with the money coming from Connect 6, that we'll probably get more than just those two funded. And hopefully we'll go down to, the committee seemed to think that at least four and probably five will be funded through that Connect 6 grant. So I think that's very positive. Larry did a great job, like he usually does when we go those kind. He had a very persuasive presentation, did it very well, and I think it was well accepted. And like I said, it came in fourth out of 10, and I think that is a great asset to Larry to say that he did that well, because it doesn't sound like much, a couple of generators, but it allows our airports to function in case of a catastrophe or a power outage. So I think he should be commended for that. The last thing is that it's really great to see that we get awards from people who do so much in volunteer work, and you'd hardly ever hear about it. So I think those kind of awards are great, and keep up that kind of good work. Thank you.
I appreciate you bringing that. I'm just going to comment here in regards to the Connect 6 Oregon funding, the generators for the airport. Our airport is growing rapidly, but we did not have generators for backup in case of an emergency, such as a disaster, or even if we were having fires here and we had a failure. So this is going to be a huge help for both of our airports. So thanks for bringing that up, Larry. I'm glad you were there. Anyone else over here? Okay. Judy.
Judy Ahrens, resident of Grants Pass. On an upbeat note, believe it or not, I would like to remind everybody regarding the Hillcrest Cemetery that's having for Memorial Day, and just encourage everybody to go out there and support what a special day it is on Memorial Day on Monday, and it'll be at 11 o'clock. And also every year what I've been trying to do is, if anybody's interested in making posters, a poster size, is that for the parade, I'm going to try to make 20 this year, is to put them up and down the parade route for our veterans. They seem to get very teary-eyed, especially if you hand them to kids, because that's where freedom lies, is that they're fighting for those kids, and I've had a good life. I mean, gone tomorrow, it's okay. But we have kids in our future, and they deserve that. And so just to show our appreciation to the veterans on at the parade, and making posters to say God bless our soldiers, or thanks for your service, or anything like that with the big markers would be great. Now, on another note that's very, very serious and dear to my heart, because it involves children. Unfortunately, President Obama has made directives to the U.S. Department of Justice on Civil Rights Division on Friday the 13th of this year, directing people on this transgender. It's really running rapid in our nation, and all the school districts in the nation already have this letter, and I received this from the District 7 just recently. There's a meeting on Flag Day at 4 o'clock. I would advise people to show up. I'm going to try to get something on the agenda. We can't have this dangerous, dangerous issue. Even registered sex offenders have it's free-for-all for them now, whether it's Target in Medford or the schools here. I don't know where Higgins, where he stands on that issue. I'll be having a meeting at 10 o'clock, but I would encourage you to say put that on the agenda for June, and let's discuss this issue before it's too late, and we have a lot of innocent kids and a lot of lawsuits going on. So it's beyond sick. It's beyond sick what we've turned our society. And once again, let's do not be the majority quiet society and say, gee, I wish I had done something. Let's be a society that challenges the Pennsylvania Avenue and then says, oh, we're not going to put up your stuff. North Carolina, who's being sued, and they're suing back, has said, and we're drawing the line. You're not going to do these to our daughters, our granddaughters, or whatever. So let's be a community that has a backbone, not only our elected officials, but the media, the Courier, KJO. Let's really stand up, and if they have to pull the kids out of school for this, and forget the funding, our kids' innocence, and when they're not for sale. Thank you.
Dale Matthews.
Dale Matthews, Grants Pass. In America, there are a number of embassies that are run by other countries, and the people who inhabit those embassies regularly employ diplomatic immunity in order to fly above the laws of the United States. And they're not held accountable. Their attitude generally is that they're above all that. We have something similar to that here with the Board of County Commissioners, and it's the commissioner's protected time, during which the commissioners can say anything that they want and then shout down anyone who says, no, wait a minute, that's not true. Well, see, it's not your choice, not your chance. Why, I can sit up here and lie and say anything that I want to, and you cannot respond for at least a week. And that's what happened to me recently when Keith Heck decided to tell people just before the election that I had been thrown out of an organization. That was simply, completely not true. He also said that I was rated 4-0, which is nonsense, because there isn't any rating 4-0. I even check with the headquarters. There's no such thing. He said, in addition to that, that there were people in that organization that didn't want me in there. That's possible, but the organization itself has not asked me to leave in any way. So by saying these things, these false things, it's misuse of diplomatic immunity. It's a misuse of the commissioner's protected time to laugh about saying something which is completely false. Now, what are we supposed to do as citizens when we hear that you say something which is simply and completely not true, that's denigrating the citizens? You know, the ones that you put down, oh, you're just the people that show up at the meetings. It does show that we care. And we do care when a commissioner or a group of commissioners decide to use their protected time to escape any kind of answers. Because I asked, you know, where'd you get that information? Why would you say that? Because it's simply not true, and I was given no answer. That is emblematic of this board. So you feel that you can just say these things and get away with them. They're not going to be in the Courier. There would be no results from any of this. Even when there were results from the OGEC about your honesty and integrity, you denied it. And you knew that they had already made that decision, and you still denied it. Then when we pointed out that the Government Ethics Commission had found you guilty, no, we haven't. Yes, you had. You had by then. And you knew it. It wasn't in the Courier either. So I would suggest that you consider not lying to us. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak? Yes, in the back. Mr. West.
Larry West, Grants Pass. My purpose here is just to give a little complete communications. I left out a little bit on a wage and salary, and I want to revisit that just so you have a clearer picture. And also, it was brought up on the Budget Committee by Margaret Goodwin. She felt that wage increases really needed to be focused around merit. And I absolutely agree with her, and that's the weakness that I didn't have a chance to explain, and I want to go into that now with an example and a request that you correct a possible inequity. And that is merit. Let's look at our treasurer. Our treasurer is not only the normal function of a treasurer, but she also is the chief tax collector for this county. In the past, she worked many years for John Harrelson, who at the time had 15 people reporting to him when he decided to retire. Fast forward to today, for a little over 4 years later, and we have Eve Arce in Treasury. Now here's a lady that's really cut down. They have four people in that department. She's one of them. They're doing the work of 15 plus one people. And divide that up. Everybody's doing the job of four people that used to be. And John Harrelson retired at a much higher wage than Eve Arce is at present. So if there's a way you could revisit and look into your stationary fund or some other thing where a round-off figure wouldn't really impact the total budget, I would really like to come back and revisit that on an issue of merit and see if we a way that you could find in your hearts to get this lady, because of her good merit, at least a 3-4% wage increase. Clearly she deserves it. And so that's my only purpose of being here today, is to complete this communications and also to focus on this one dangling area that we didn't have the time to address. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Okay. Now I will entertain motions.
I'm going to comment on Mr. Ford's Connect Oregon reference for the airports because I didn't have an opportunity to do so earlier. I think Mr. Graves deserves a tremendous amount of credit. He has looked for opportunities to find grants where our previous airport managers did not, certainly not without help from this board. I think the regional solutions was a big one, 400 and $25,000 was our application. I think it was reduced by 18% to around $340,000. But still, without that level of tenacity that he brings to the table, we wouldn't be getting our East Side taxiway extended and built next year. It just wouldn't happen. So he's exploring every opportunity to make that airport into exactly the kind of place that everybody wants it to be and wanted it to be 20 years ago. And frankly, I think it was the idea that Paradise Ranch was going to pull the airport along. Well, frankly, now I think it's going to be the airport that's going to pull Paradise Ranch along, unfortunately or fortunately. They have that. One of the things that I think we are constantly up against the wall in Josephine County on is looking back at past allocations of Connect Oregons that have gone to the Medford Airport. I don't know what the number is, but back in the day, Connect Oregons were about $40 million. And I would say, you know, if they're getting four right now, they got 12 in a previous round and probably a significant amount before that. They have a lot more resources in Jackson County, that goes without saying. So their capacity for match funds and everything else is a lot different than ours over here. In fact, we're not exactly sure how we're coming up with that 18% that the Connect Oregon was reduced, or excuse me, the Regional Solutions was reduced by. And where there's a will, there's a way, and there's a tremendous will behind Mr. Graves. He's doing a phenomenal job out there. So I just wanted to call attention to that. The other thing that we don't do is this award that we just gave out. In Jackson County and around the state, there's counties that do volunteer awards luncheons every year. So they invite all of their known volunteers on their parks board, on their fair board. They come in and they just recognize their service to the community for one day. That's something we haven't done. We cut out 5 or 6 years ago all of this. There was staff luncheons at meetings of boards in the past. We don't do that anymore. At some point, you're going to have to figure out where that equilibrium is of not rewarding people past the works of their effort. And it's a small thing. I don't think it would cost the county a lot, but it might be something we explore in the future. Is doing something of a recognition at an annual event of our volunteers, because we really couldn't be operating as a county without them. And they're in the sheriff's department, they're in the animal control, obviously we just recognize them, parks. There probably isn't a department or program within the county that doesn't have, frankly, a significant portion of their program being done by volunteers in our community. So we're only here and operating at this level because of those people, and I just wanted to call attention to that. And Mr. West, I appreciate the sentiment of rewarding elected officials based, or even public officials based on merit. There really isn't, in my estimation, I'm pretty familiar with all 120 commissioners in the state and all 36 counties. I think that rather than trust us trying to invent the wheel, if we go out to those other counties and look at the best practices of those, there isn't another county in the state that I'm aware of, or even municipality, that rewards based on merit. And if I'm wrong in that, I'd sure love to be corrected. But that gets into a slippery slope. I'm doing more than the next person, or they're doing more than I am. You know, it's adjusting those salaries. I came in at 8 this morning, and somebody came in at 8:15. I don't know. It gets into a sticky wicket. I certainly like to address Ms. Arce's compensation relative to John Harrelson's, because I wasn't aware that there was an inequity from elected officials previously. Those are usually static things. This board is being paid what the previous commissioners have been paid for the last 7 years without a cost of living adjustment. And I think that Ms. Arce also did the same thing, but I could be wrong. And if I am, I'd like to see that issue raised. And it's really interesting for elected officials. That's not very popular for them to raise their own salary inequities. It doesn't come up. It's perfectly fine to request a reduction, as Commissioner Heck has done for the last 4 years, but it isn't popular to say, you know what, I think I deserve a couple of bucks more or a percentage increase, or I'm not being paid what the other elected officials in our comparative counties is being paid. But I commend the Elected Officials Compensation Committee, the Budget Committee, for making that adjustment, that we will stay within those comparators for elected officials. I think that was progress well made. So we'll see if the board adopts that at a future meeting, but otherwise, that was a good thing. And I'll make reference to Memorial Day weekend coming up under other items, matters from commissioners. So those are my comments, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any further comment?
I was going to comment something to Ms. Aaron, but she's already gone. So.
Yes. Okay. All right. Motions, please.
Where are you at on the agenda, Madam Chair?
Pardon?
Where are you at in the agenda?
Where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to start.
Yep.
At the top.
Lead us through.
The administrative actions. Resolutions. Item 3A.
Great. I would make a motion to approve item 3A, which is resolution 2016-039 in the matter of adoption of the budget for the fiscal year 2016-17 and making appropriations.
And I will second that.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Item 3B.
Madam Chair, I would move for approval of resolution 2016-040 in the matter of levying ad valorem property tax rates, local option levy taxes, and bond levies for Josephine County, Oregon for fiscal year 2016-17.
And I'll second that as well.
Further discussion? Being
no, we didn't talk about the bond levies, specifically the jail bond. That will be coming to fruition. I guess the final year is June 30th of 2018. However, we only levy that in November of 17. So not this year, but the next year. I think it's around 15 cents per thousand. It's a little over $1 million. So we'll be just paying off that bond. We really don't know how we're going to fund the operations moving past that budget cycle. So
well, there are certain people we have to thank for that we never had operation funds. So
that is something that rears its ugly head every year trying to keep that jail open. And, you know, the city stepping in at $1 million a year is a stopgap measure. It's not how you should operate one of your most fundamental. And I don't know where the more money we could allocate already 77% of the general discretionary funds of this budget this year, which is probably more than I think we've ever done. We've moved up from about 66 to 77. It's just got to come from somewhere. So,
and I think that needs to be repeated a little more slowly. Of the general fund, the monies that we have the ability to decide where it is to be spent, you're saying that 77% of that money is set aside to the Sheriff's Department?
To the criminal justice system.
Criminal justice, which includes the sheriff primarily.
DA. Yeah, the sheriff of that 77% gets 68% of those funds. So it's certainly a priority of this board and has been of previous boards, but no previous board has ever had a higher level of prioritization for the discretionary dollars this county allocates to the Sheriff's Department. So there are only a very handful of other departments that receive general funds. So the surveyor receives about $30,000. The clerk's office is about $60,000. I think the planning department's about $120,000, $150,000. There's a handful of others, but really it's very, very small. The assessor's office is the largest one, and we'll address a CAFA grant later on. If you don't allocate a certain amount of general fund dollars, you don't get the $340,000 that we're getting this next year. So we almost get a pink slip every year. I remember seeing these when I first got elected from the state, that if you drop below this level of employees or discretionary fund support, you're not going to get that $340,000 anymore. And we push the envelope, hence this amendment coming up on 5B, every year. So.
Well, and I think it's important to note here that if we drop below that and the state will not give us the money, the state will take over the operation of that function.
And send us a bill.
And send us a bill. So.
Oh. Or just keep, it's not as convenient as sending a bill that we wouldn't have to pay. They're collecting the tax revenues. They take their cut before they cut us a check. And that might be better. Because right now we're providing this service free of charge for all the other districts. If they all had to pay under that new scheme, it might behoove us to let the state do it. But that's probably not how it would shake out.
For another day to talk about that.
Not how it would shake out.
Another day, another discussion. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Item 3C, approval of second amendment to the contract for professional services between ConMed and Josephine County. Do I have a motion?
I would move for approval of the second amendment to the contract for professional services between ConMed and Josephine County.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Being none, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries.
Madam Chair, if you'll indulge me, I'd like to make a motion for the following timber sale contracts in group.
In group, that's fine with me. Okay with you, Commissioner?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd make a motion to approve items 3D through I, which are approval of timber sale contract with Murphy Company on Hayes Hill, number 2016-T-1. Item E is approval of timber sale contract with Murphy Company, Munger's Flats, 2016-T-2. Item 3F, which is approval of timber sale contract for Murphy Company, Upper Hog Creek, 2016-T-4. Item 3G is approval of timber sale contract with Murphy Company for Wolf Creek Park, 2016-T-5. 3H, which is approval of timber sale contract with Murphy Company, Waterbrook, 2016-T-6. And then item 3I, which is approval of timber sale contract with Murphy Company, Colby Gulch, 2016-T-8.
And I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
I have a couple of things. So we've rescheduled the payments over these three-year contracts for each of them. Usually it's 25% in the first year, 50% in the second, and 25% in the third. Because we didn't have very much timber that went for sale last year, we've restructured these sales to provide 50% of the revenue up front in the first year. And they kind of shake out over time. We do cruises, and we put up the timber based on our estimation of the volume. But the price when the timber's purchased is the set price. It just depends on the amount of volume that's pulled out. And that's all accounted for when it goes to the mill and has been harvested. So it's theoretical that all of this could be paid in either 1 year, but we will for sure receive 50% of the revenue. I know that Parks has already received their first check, and that money has been set aside for that project. There was something else. Oh, this volume number of 6.3 million board feet may not be our average. It's really challenging experiencing the Douglas Timber Complex fire and working back from that, where we did about 9.1 million board feet that year. And that's outside our sustained yield, but there's a time frame of harvesting those trees. So the next year you don't harvest as much, but we're trying to get into that stable, sustained yield type of volume so that we don't have these ebbs and flows with either the revenue or the amount of timber that we're supplying to the market. The last thing that I wanted to say is Murphy Company was not the only company that bid on these timber sales, but as their value-added product is higher than the 2x4 timber grade stuff that Swanson Group does, they probably have a capacity to purchase more wood. The unfortunate thing is that a member that used to be in the audience for purchasing timber sales was not there this year, which would have been rough and ready. They weren't a participant because they're no longer in operations, which is a really sad thing. If you look at the stumpage value, our pine market has gone to virtually zero by virtue of them not operating. And we're on the west side, but we're in the south side, so we have a lot of pine in our portfolio because they're more drought resistant, drought tolerant than fir. That's going to have negative effects in the future. There's even timber sales that are going on around southern Oregon, Josephine County, and Jackson, where they're leaving the pine trees. There's no value in bringing them out because they have to ship them to other mills, or they're buried within plywood or the new D.R. Johnson cross-laminate technology. They put the pine as a lower-value wood product inside of higher-value fir. So these are things that are going to have a negative impact on our forest management practices, and we're probably only seeing the beginnings of that. So something to consider.
Any further comment?
No.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. No other further discussion. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. That's for item 3D through I. Okay, moving on to the consent calendar. Item 5A are various minutes, the County Administration Workshop on April the 21st, Weekly Business Session on May 11th, County Administration Workshop on May 12th, General Discussion on May 17th at 9 a.m., a General Discussion at 1:30 p.m. on May 17th. Did I say 19th? I meant 17. I'm not sure. And then May 17th, same day. And then Weekly Business Session, May 18th, 2016. Item 5B is Resolution Number 2016-041 in the matter of amending the assessment and taxation grant. You mentioned that, Commissioner Heckes. I mean, here, is there anything you wish to add to that?
Well, I didn't really specify, but we are reducing this assessment grant amount by $10,000 because we had previously put in investment in software as a contributing factor of what we put into our budget, and it is no longer able to be accounted for. So,
thank you.
That's a reduction.
Right, and also as a little further clarification on those grants is that we have to have that information into the state long before we've actually formulated our budget, so that's not unusual that we have to adjust. So.
No, it's a mid-May requirement. Every county in the state has to do the same thing.
5C, amendment number 3 to a lease agreement for office space between Public Health and Healthcare Coalition of Southern Oregon. That's the reference of HCSO. This is just this is a lease that's already in place. We're just making an amendment in regards to the amount of office space that they are renting.
I think the office space amount is staying the same. We're just extending this for another year.
Oh, I thought it was changing the space.
No.
No.
I think it's been a good lease arrangement for the years
past. Yes, they've been with us a long time, actually.
Yeah.
So
the amount of space that they lease, you couldn't reduce it too much.
It's pretty small. It's a
very small one. Yeah.
But we're just extending it.
I guess that was a discussion I had, thinking they were increasing it. But thank you for that correction. Item 5D, order number 2016-017, in the matter of appointing community development director to serve as the county planning director. All of our planning rules and regulations refer to the approval authorities or the statutory authorities of a planning director. For the past year, we have been trying, or nearly a year, we've been trying to hire someone as a community development and planning director, a dual position with one person. And we have hired someone. They'll begin June 1st, which is going to be great. But we have to appoint this person to serve as the planning director because there is no reference to a community development and planning director. So we have to make sure that the titles line up so that they will have the authority under state statutes to be able, and our own planning and zoning, to be able to sign and approve documents. So this is more of a housekeeping type of thing than anything to make sure that the person who is filling the position will be able to conduct all of the duties of our planning director. Okay, any questions on those?
I think there's an important distinction that we're making the order to go to the position and
the position,
the person,
not the person.
So that, you know, if this person is here for a couple of years but then leaves, we never have to readdress this issue to comply with state statute. It's not like naming Mr. Black as interim director, having the authority for the planning department. That's done at a very low level. This is much,
right,
just codifying.
This is for the positions. Okay, I will entertain a motion for the consent calendar.
And I would move for approval of the consent calendar, items 5A, B, C, and D.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Any other business that we need to handle today? No? Any other matters from commissioners that you wish to discuss? Commissioner here?
I don't have much, actually. I was just at a Parks Board meeting yesterday, and it was really apparent, speaking about the volunteers that we have in our programs. Our parks is a really valuable resource and asset to our community. Talking about the historic employee level. We used to have nearly 30 people in our parks department, and now we have eight full-time people. It's really important that these programs still be available to the public, and really that's only possible through volunteers. We need people at every level in our parks department. I believe we could use some office staff assistance. We have volunteer park patrols that are really ambassadors. They're really not enforcement people, but they really help the public get their questions answered. And if there is a compliance need, that there's just eyes and ears where we don't have the public safety resources or the rangers to provide that customer service element. These volunteers really do a great service to the community, and they enjoy it. They're in teams of two always, and they're going around, like I said, as ambassadors. So if you have an interest or a need in our Parks Department to be successful, please contact our office or the Parks office, ideally, and you can kind of figure out a way that you can plug in. One of the nice things about that program is that we have a capacity to reward you. So for a person who volunteers for our Parks Department, just 8 hours, and you'll receive your annual day use pass for free. Or a family of four, 2 hours, coming out and doing whatever the Parks Department requests of you. Within reason, we'd get you an annual pass. So that's something that people hopefully can take better advantage of in the future.
Yes, I have just a couple of announcements, actually four announcements. Birds and Brews in Illinois Valley is going to be this Saturday, May 28th, at the Deer Creek Center in Selma, and it's a fundraiser for the Siskiyou Field Institute. And if you have any questions on that, sliding scale of fee, tickets are $10 to $20. But if you have any questions about that, you can go online, simply the Siskiyou Field Institute. org, and find out whatever information you might want to find out. We're very thankful in our community to have the food bank, Raptor Creek Farm, and then the food bank that does so much to pass around foods to different organizations that are trying to feed those who are hungry. And they are in this process right now of trying to raise for 1 million meals, but that might sound like a lot. But yet, on the other hand, $5 provides up to, or every dollar you donate provides up to 5 meals. So it's quite an effective work. If you have any interest in that, you can contact the food bank here in Josephine County, and or Raptor Creek Farm, either one. That's both listed. The veterans have a lot of good work, and Lisa Picard is the main mover of that in the county. But they have a caregiver support program, of which we oftentimes think of the veteran themselves, but yet overlook sort of the caregiver. And this is trying to provide support and respite for those who are caregivers of these veterans that have suffered different injuries. And they have a caregiver support line, and that you can call and find out information on it, and that's 855-260-3274. Or probably the best way is just simply call Lisa Picard here in the Josephine County Veterans Service office, and just call that 474-5454 number, and you can talk to Lisa about information on the caregiver support program. And last but not least, the Williams Community Forest Project. They have a June 18th event down at the Williams Grange. Again, the sliding scale of admission, $20 to $10, depending. They have a dinner. There's a Greek dinner provided by Nisha. There's an additional cost for that. But they also have the film Behind the Emerald Curtain, and that shows at 7 o'clock. But if you have any interest in that, you can call up the Williams Community Forest Project or go online, wcfp.org, and you can ask them whatever question you might want to ask, or if you want to see the flyer, I've got it too. So I'm done with mine.
Okay, thank you. Okay, one of the comment I would like to make in regards to Dale Mathers saying that the commissioner's protected time, I'd like to remind the public that this is the commissioner's weekly business session. So we can comment at any time on any topic in this meeting. And in fact, under the laws governing our public meetings, public comment is a courtesy extended to the public, which we think is important, so we do it. But I do want to remind the public this is a commissioner meeting, and it's the opportunity for the public to bring forward their questions or issues and discuss the issues that are before the board, and we welcome the public to do that. I want to say something here, and I want you to quickly think of something. United States military veteran, what was the first thing that came to your mind? So most people think of a male, his father, a male veteran. Oftentimes it's depicted as either a Vietnam or World War II veteran, but there are many other veterans of other wars and conflicts in the last 20 to 30 years. So I met with the State Department of Veterans Affairs, Women's Veteran Director, and that has been one of the issues in regards to obtaining benefits for female veterans. Here in Josephine County, we have several hundred women who are female veterans, many who do not even have an awareness of the benefits they are entitled to. Oftentimes, people dismiss them as being veterans simply because they are women. So I'm working with this department from the state to see if we can put on some kind of a program this fall to raise awareness of women veterans and help them to receive the benefits to which they are also entitled, as well as the service providers. And I was glad to see you brought that up about the caregiver support program, because lots of times it's women that we're having to support that are veterans. So I think that I will just go back now to my question. When you think of a veteran, you typically think of a male veteran. I think that is very much ingrained in our culture, but we have a lot of women who are veterans and always have. So in fact, last year our U.S. Veterans Director removed the right of World War II women veterans to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. That has now been restored, where those women can be buried at Arlington. I just wanted to remind people that on Memorial Day, the whole purpose of the day was to remember those who have given their lives in the service of the country. But we have many celebrations going on here. I think Judy Ahrens mentioned the one at the cemetery. There will be one at Riverside Park. There will be a placing of a wreath there that afternoon. The parade and the boat races all start this weekend, so be safe, be careful, and remember those who have given their lives so we have the opportunity to enjoy the freedoms and rights and responsibilities of being U.S. citizens. Other things going on is on Senator Wyden will be here at RCC Auditorium Saturday at 4 p.m. if anyone's interested in attending that to take issues to Senator Wyden. Fire season isn't yet declared, so now is the time to clear the brush and debris and tree limbs and leaves and such off of your roof, out of your gutters, and from around your home. That's important to keep from having a fire start on your property or for spreading. And two events coming up. The Illinois Valley Airport will be having an event the first weekend in June, which will be the first weekend right after Memorial Day. They will be having aircraft out there and a fun run and all kinds of good things going on. And then on September 3rd, which is Labor Day weekend, the Grants Pass Merlin Airport will be having airport days. There'll be more on that, but I just want you to know about it so you can plan on it if you're going to be in town on those weekends. To be able to support our community activities, and come to find out that our airport days is one of the very best attended airport days in Southern Oregon, because a lot of others have kind of airport types of things, and they had a very nice one over in Ashland last week, but it was only attended by a couple hundred people. Usually 2,000 people attend ours, so they're very well attended and a lot of fun. So good food, good things to do. And I understand this year they're going to be offering helicopter rides. They've offered aircraft rides in the past. They're going to be offering helicopter rides this year at the Grants Pass Merlin Airport. So, that being said, anything else? Okay, be safe this weekend, and enjoy the Memorial Day weekend. And we are adjourned at 10:25.